Sahaba's devotion, a love so true, inspiring hearts forever anew. Sahaba's devotion, a love so true, inspiring hearts forever anew. Inspiring hearts forever anew. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Please repeat after me. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله صلى الله تعالى Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Viewers of Madni Channel, welcome back to YOLO Series 4, Devotion Beyond Comprehension. This is love that we cannot understand. And we're giving examples of this love. And this was the love that the companions had for the blessed and beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Let me start with this. What is the wisdom and the truth of the Quran? What is the essence of your spirit and soul? What is the real life of your religion, your deen? So Dr. Iqbal says this. He says, Maghze Quran, Ruhe Ima, Jane Deen. Maghze Quran, Ruhe Ima, Jane Deen. Hast Hubbe Rahmatul Lil Alameen. That everything, if you want to get to the depths of the Quran, you need the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you want to taste the true spirituality in this beautiful creation of Allah azza wa jal, and you want closeness to Allah azza wa jal, it's the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you want to know what religion is, it is the love of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. This is the essence of our lives. Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a beautiful hadith in Mubarakah said that recite Durood-e Pak upon me for it is purification for you. Not just physical purification, but purification of the heart, mind and soul. We often have situations where we're anxious, we have kind of a lot on our mind, we're confused, our thoughts are scattered. Well, one of the ways that the scholars have written to get rid of all this anxiety, this confusion, this bewilderment is by reciting Durood e Pak upon Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala. Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now today, alhamdulillah, we've got some more beautiful stories of the blessed companions and their love and devotion in the court of Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we've got a beautiful department of Dawat Islam, an amazing department. All the departments are brilliant, but this particular department is reaching the corners of the globe and changing people's lives. Want to find out which one? Stay with us. Inshallah, we're going to move to our kalam, and it's by my favorite Naat Khan. Let's listen to this beautiful kalam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala. Ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ey kaash mera jaaye, ey kaash mera jaaye, aatar Madine mein, ey kaash mera
Oh, Subhanallah, beautiful kalam by Haji Mushtaq Attari rahmatullah alayh, an amazing voice and one that touches the heart. But in this particular kalam, you know, some people, they travel to Makkatul Mukarramah, they travel to Madinatul Munawwarah. We're in this era at the moment where a lot of people are going. And some people, the journey is spiritual. But unfortunately, for the vast majority, it's just like a holiday, and it shouldn't be like that. And there are also some people who don't have the privilege, don't have the means to go there. But when you see their love and their devotion and their, you know, desire to go, you think, wow, these people have not reached Madinatul Munawwarah, but just sat here, the reward they must be getting in the love of Medina and the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is amazing. Whenever I listen to Haji Mushtaq Attari rahmatullah alayhi, I get that feeling that he had such strong love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that in every one of his kalams you felt that vibe, and that, you know, it touched your heart. What a beautiful kalam. We're going to move to our main segment. Salu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sahaba's devotion, a love so true, inspiring hearts for ever anew.
As we said, maghze Qur'an, ruhe ima, janedi, hast hubbe rahmatan lil alamin. The essence of everything we have around us, the essence of our deen, is the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, when you wanted to see the true personification, this love in front of you, you need to look no further than the life of the Blessed Companions. Let me relate to you a few things that really made the Companions amazing. Sayyidina Bara bin Azib, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, I wish to ask Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a question about a certain matter. But I was so in awe of them, and there was so much honor and reverence there, that I couldn't open my mouth and ask the question for 2 years. Once you were around, you were just mesmerized by the looks, by the acts, by the sunnahs, that it took me 2 years to pluck up the courage to ask a question. And Alaga Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most gentle and the most loving and the most caring. Hazrat Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala says, no one was more beloved to me than the noble Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor was there anybody more worthy of reverence in my eyes than him. In spite of this, I could not bring myself to keep looking at him. His immaculate beauty was so amazing that every time I looked, my eyes moved away because I was so much in awe of him. And I couldn't concentrate and look at the blessed face through the honor and reverence and veneration I had for this amazing personality. And the Companions, what did they say? You know, your parents are very dear to you, and you would do anything for your parents. And deen gives them a great status. But what the Companions taught the world was that yes, the most beloved people to you in the world are your parents, who brought you into this world and who raised you, fed you, clothed you, taught you everything you know. But when it came to the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these blessed Companions, their words were, may my father and mother be sacrificed for you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what they were saying is that the most precious thing we have is our parents and our soul. And their normal kalam, so every time they wanted to ask a question, every time they wanted to speak to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a lot of the Companions would say, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may my soul be sacrificed for you. May I be sacrificed for you. May my parents be sacrificed for you. And then they would ask their question. And it wouldn't be such a serious matter, but they knew the court they were in. And this shows us the honor and respect they gave the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was what was truly, truly the love that they had for the best of creation and the master of all creation. And then this beautiful love didn't just stop at the Companions. The Tabi'een, those who did not see Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but saw the Companions, they inherited this love. They inherited this respect and honor and reverence. And it was clear throughout their lives. And they passed it on to Taba Tabi'een. So these were the people who did not see the Companions, but saw those who saw the Companions. Look at the chain. And these people were described as the best. And these people inherited that. And over the last 1400 to 1500 years, the true devotees of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have inherited this quality. When it comes to the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it comes to honor and respect in the court of the best of creation, they don't stop anywhere. They sacrifice everything at the feet of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The great Hazrat Imam Malik radiallahu ta'ala, what he used to do was that every time the name of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be mentioned, he would lower his head out of respect. A lot of the great imams, somebody asked him for a hadith mubarakah, they used to say, okay, wait here. They used to go, take a fresh bath, put on fresh clothes, put on fresh scent and fragrance, and then come back. And just to give them that one hadith mubarakah, they used to do all of this, and then to recite or read or translate or relay the hadith mubarakah in the best possible way, with honor, respect, and reverence. This is the deen that we received from the beautiful Companions and our pious predecessors. There was this zeal, there was this enthusiasm, there was this passion amongst the companions to do everything to please Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hazrat Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf, a distinguished companion of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he says, I was amongst the front line in the Battle of Badr. Now this was the greatest battle of Islam. 313 devotees of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam fighting 1,000 strong army of the Kuffar, and the Kuffar had all the ammunition and they had all the weapons and everything else. And these 313 companions had very few weapons, very few rides, no armor, very little. I think it was one or two armor. And that's it. But what they had was far superior to what the Kuffar had. They had the love of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in their hearts. And not just the established companions, those who had been by the side of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Makkatul Mukarramah and had migrated to Madinatul Munawwarah, not just those. I'm talking about small children. Hazrat Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf says that I'm on the battlefield, I look to my left and right and I see two young boys, and I think to myself in my heart that I wish I had two strong men at either side. And while I'm thinking this, these boys come over to me and they say, can you tell us which one Abu Jahl is? I said to him, why? Why are you asking about Abu Jahl? And they said, because we have been told that that wretched man insults our beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And so we want to be the ones who take him down. Hazrat Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf says that as I was saying this, suddenly Abu Jahl appeared in the distance. So I said, there he is. And both of these young children rushed towards Abu Jahl, attacked him and toppled him over. This was the love that they had. They couldn't bear. How could anybody disrespect the beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? And this love was ingrained in the children, in the companions, in the elderly, in the sahabiyat, in the women of Islam. Nothing else mattered. When it came to honor and respect in the court of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, anybody who had one iota of disrespect in this court, never mind for the best of creation, but anything associated with Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the companions would never tolerate that. And this was their amazing way. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's, one of the daughters, was initially married to Utaybah. This was a son of Abu Lahab. Now when the Ayah Mubarakah came down and the Surah Mubarakah came down, Surah Lahab, what used to happen in the Arabian Peninsula was at a young age, certain children were allocated to certain other children, and they had this wedding, but it wasn't consummated. It was just that they were allocated to that child. So because they were relatives, and Abu Lahab was the uncle of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his son was connected to one of the daughters of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Although they hadn't had ruksati, they hadn't met, but this was from an early age. It's a bit like we do rishtas these days. It was a bit like that. Now when the wretched man said nasty things about the best of creation Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Aka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't reply. Allah Azza wa Jal replied, and Surah Lahab was revealed, where Allah Azza wa Jal said, may both your hands break, and may you burn in the fire of hell, and may your wife suffer as well, and all of this. I'm not going to go into the tafsir, but read the translation and the tafsir of Surah Lahab from tafsir Siratul Jinan. And Mufti Qasim Sardamu Barakatum Alayhi spells it out, that Allah Azza wa Jal did not tolerate even that disrespect of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when Aka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave that first message of Islam. And Allah Azza wa Jal, the creator of the heavens and the earth, put Abu Lahab in his place till the day of judgment with this beautiful Surah Mubarakah. But the story that I wanted to put before you is, one of his sons was blessed with Iman, but Utbah, he was a wretched man, and he, nauzubillah, insulted the best of creation, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Aka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam prayed against him and said, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, send one of your dogs to take him out. Now, from that day on, Abu Lahab knew. He said, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has prayed against my son, so he's not safe. So they go on a trip. Some scholars write it was to Syria, Sham. And he says to his people, his servants and everything else, make sure you protect him. At night, when they lie down, they all put their beds around his bed and put him in the middle. And they think, well, nothing can attack him now. He's in the middle on this journey, and they're all resting. a lion comes. He smells every one of them. And then he grabs Utayba and tears him to pieces. And the scholars write that he was a wretched man who'd insulted Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the lion was able to tell from the stench, you know, the stench that he had, that this is the Gustakhi Rasul. And he took him and tore him to pieces. And this was what Abu Lahab was dreading. And it happened because the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it. So disrespect in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only was it the companions that couldn't handle it, but also Allah Azza wa Jal and his creation could not handle it. Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not just our Prophet, is not just the Prophet of the human beings and the Muslims. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Prophet of the worlds. All the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of creation and the Prophet of. And Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the mercy to the entire worlds. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is rahmatul lil alameen. He is mercy to all the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. Subhanallah. You know, there are many, many stories of the companions. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu says that one man, he comes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he had a gold ring on his finger. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees it, says, men shouldn't be wearing gold rings. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes it and throws it to one side. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then departs. The companions say to the man, pick up the ring, go home, you know, have it melted down or give it to your wife. Women can wear gold, so you can use that gold or make it into something, or you can even sell it. You don't, you know, it's the prohibition is in relation to men wearing it. He says, no. I said, what do you mean, no? He says, my beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has thrown that away. I'm never going to touch that thing that displeased my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He left a ring of gold on the floor and wouldn't touch it. This was devotion beyond comprehension. Hazrat Sayyidina Amir bin Shoaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu was once traveling with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was wearing a shawl that was slightly dyed in a certain way. And upon seeing this, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what is this that you've got on? And just from the expression of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he realized that Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't like it. He goes home and throws it into the fire and burns it. When he comes back, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, what have you done with it? He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you didn't like it, so I've burnt it. And Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, why didn't you give it to some of the women folk, as there is no harm for them wearing such clothes? It looked more like the type of garment that a woman should wear. And that's what displeased Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But look at the reaction of the companion. All he saw is that on the blessed face Mubarak of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was displeasure. And that was enough for him to burn the shawl. Subhanallah. So Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them Madni pearls as well. But look at the reaction of this companion. All he found out was that my beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam may be displeased with this. Now today in our lives, how many things do we give up for that simple reason? That Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam may become displeased. In fact, there are actions we do where we know for a fact that it's wrong and it is against the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and yet we still do it. Why? The companions, even if they thought that something displeased Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they didn't do it and they refrained from it. And yet today, we claim to be devotees of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we can't give up the haram things. We can't give up those things that Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have forbidden. Why? Where is that love when it comes to these things? Why do we look at the wrong thing? Why do we watch the wrong thing? Why do we say the wrong thing? Why do we do the wrong thing? When we know that there are angels writing it, we know that our deeds are presented in the best of the court of the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and through the atah, through the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows your deeds. Allah Azza wa Jal knows everything. Why do we then ignore that?
Where is our love then? Look at the love of the companions. Even the slightest glimpse that Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam may be displeased, and they used to give up everything. You know, this is true devotion. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to one of his students, he said, should I inform you of a story of myself and Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anhu? He said, certainly. He said that the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to grind the mill herself. So she used to grind the flour and she used to do work in the house till the hands Mubarak and the jism Mubarak had marks on it, from carrying things on the shoulder Mubarak and everything else. So one day, when Islam was spreading and, you know, Mali Ghanimat was coming in, the booty was coming in, some slaves came in to Islam. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said to the queen of the women of Jannah, the leader of the women of paradise, Hazrat Fatima to Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, that why don't you go to your blessed father, the best of creation, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last and final messenger, and you ask for one slave girl. And look at how, you know, the love and affection was between Hazrat Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala and Hazrat Fatima to Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha. Amazing, amazing personalities. So, you know, Hazrat Fatima to Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha comes to the courts of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And can you believe this? That upon seeing people there and asking, these people are saying, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I need this, and Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is granting it. Ya Rasulullah, can I have a slave, and Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grant. Ya Rasulullah, I need money, I need this, I need food. And the best of creation is blessing the world. And the daughter of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood there, and she couldn't bring herself to ask Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for anything, so she comes back. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows everything. So Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the ataa of Allah, with the blessings of Allah, come and say, Fatima, you came yesterday, but you didn't ask for anything. She says, oh my father, you know, I struggle at home and I could do with some help, a helping hand to help me with different things, collecting water, doing the grinding and everything else. And Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, daughter, be patient. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and his wife used to use one rug. She says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, me and my husband Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu have one rug that we use to sleep on as well, and we use it during the day as well for other things as well. We don't have anything else. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh my daughter, be patient. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and his wife used to use one rug on which they would sleep at night. This rug was also used as a garment. Attain taqwa and piety, fear Allah Azza wa Jal, that whenever you're tired, whenever you have difficulties, recite Subhanallah 33 times, recite Alhamdulillah 33 times, and recite Allahu Akbar 34 times. Subhanallah, Tasbih my Fatima, as we call it. And after every salah, if you do this, and especially the scholars say, you know, when you're tired and you need that energy boost, we say power naps, don't we? This is your vazifa for a power nap. Whenever you're tired, try it. It's amazing. It works. Read Durood e Pak before and after, and read this and watch how Allah Azza wa Jal blesses you and your body becomes energized. So this was, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, recite this, O Fatima, this is better than keeping assistance. Subhanallah, this was the beauty of the best of creation and those around Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni channel, the life of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was amazing. And what we learn from how the companions behaved is truly amazing, because we realize that their devotion around Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam knew no bounds. They would sacrifice everything to act upon the sunnats of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would watch Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's actions and they would say, we need to emulate. Today we have role models. Today we copy our fashions. Today we see these dummies in the window and we think, that's what he's wearing, nice clothes. I want that sort of clothes. I want this sort of hairstyle. You look at the fashion. The fashions change. But look at the companions and the devotees of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the Sahaba Ikram to the Tabi'een to the Taba Tabi'een to 1400 years of Islamic history, There was only one fashion, there was only one love, and there was only one desire. That which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. Indeed, Sayyidina Siddiqui Akbar radiallahu ta'ala, when he's about to depart from this world, and he's been Amir al-Mu'mineen, he's done so much for the Muslims and everything else. And you know what he asks? He says, tell me, how many garments did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have for the kafan Mubarak? Tell me how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this, how Akak. And yet, in the whole of the universe, if there's anybody who knew Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam close, then it was Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala. And yet he still wants to follow everything down to the very minutest detail. And today, we claim to be devotees of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We claim to be those who are following in the ways of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But I want you to ask yourself two easy questions. One, what do you sacrifice in the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because if you're giving up, you know, going out, doing the wrong things, if you're staying away from filth, if you're staying, keeping your eyes pure and clean, if you're keeping your ears pure and clean, and staying away from music and backbiting and enmity in the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you can say, yes, we are on the path that our pious predecessors were. If you, in the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say that I don't care about the fashions of the world, because that's what the companions did, you know, they wouldn't give up a sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam no matter what happened. And yet today, we copy everybody else. We copy the latest fashions, the latest hairstyles, and everything else. The one person we do not copy is the one that we should be following. The one that the companions followed. The one that the tabi'een followed. Daba tabi'een followed. And 1400 years of Islamic history shows our pious predecessors followed day in, day out for everything in their lives. And you know, today, if your life feels empty, if your life feels devoid of value, if your life feels like there's something missing, you know what's missing? It is that sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is that devotion in the court of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is that eagerness to act upon the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's what's missing. We look for that peace and tranquility in cars and houses and children and, you know, money and everything else. And when we get that, we don't find it. Why? Because we're not in touch with ourselves. What we're missing is that true devotion in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, I started off with that couplet. They get maghze Qur'an, ruhe ima, jane deen, hast hubbe rahmatul lil alameen. Everything, the essence of it, is love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was what the actions of the companions showed us. Now today, ask yourself this question. How many sunnats do I know? How many sunnats do I act upon? How many teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do I know? How many do I act upon? How many companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do I know? How many lives have I studied? And don't deceive yourself, because we learn all these things. You know the latest trends. You know the latest fashions. You know where the latest sales are. You know where you can get all your designer gear from. You know the names of footballers. You know the names of actors. You know them. You've got all this information. The only information that we're missing, you know about the rules of business, you know about the rules of tax, you know the rules of benefits, you know how to make a book, you know everything. If there's something we don't know, it's the deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the essence of the difference between those blessed companions who were the best of the rest of creation after the prophets. Those companions, tabi'in, taba tabi'in, and us today, we proclaim love, but it's empty of action. They had love and action and humbleness and sincerity in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mean, they went so far. And this is my next kind of week's topic. But, you know, we're talking about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If anything was associated with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to honor it so much. You know, things like the tuparakat, you know, the muay mubarak, the hair mubarak of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The companions would fight over who gets what. And what it was, this was hair. And it wasn't hair that was attached to the body mubarak. This was hair that Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had blessed the companions with. And they used to use this. And what did they use it for? They used it for cure. So if they got ill, They put the hair mubarak, or whether it was a garment of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a jubba mubarak of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They used to dip it in water and then drink the water. They respected everything. They respected the very ground that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked on. You had pious predecessors who would not walk in Madinatul Munawwara with shoes on. I remember when I first went for Hajj many years ago, people were with me and they said, let's go to Jabal Nur, Hira. And I was quite happy with the fact that I'd taken my trainers. So the other people that were with me, they had chappals. And I had trainers. I was thinking, brilliant, I've got trainers and it's going to be easy for me to climb. And honestly, the scene, it was a long time ago, it was over 20 years ago now, but I still remember the person's clothes, the color of his clothes. I still remember his face. And he went up Ghare Hira and he came all the way back down barefooted. And his intention was that how can I walk on this mountain with shoes on when my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam has walked on this mountain? And I was shocked. Honestly, it really hit me that I thought that is love and devotion. You know, there were pious predecessors who used to walk barefooted in the streets of Medina. This is love and devotion beyond comprehension. Everything that was associated with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam was so special to the companions that you had many companions who would keep things for the rest of their lives once they got gifted it. Many companions, they would take the blessed Mu'im Mubarak, or they would take the barakat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into their graves. And these things had amazing powers. There was one companion who had a handkerchief and he could throw it into the fire to clean. And the fire wouldn't touch it. The fire would burn everything else. So if there was any food on it or anything else, it would be like he was washing it. So whenever he needed it cleaning, he threw it into the fire and then took it back out. So people asked, hang on a minute, what's going on here? Fire burns. You don't put things into the fire to clean them. You put them in, you wash them. You pass water, you use soap. What are you doing? He said, this was a handkerchief that Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used for the hands Mubarak. And ever since, because of the blessings of the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fire can't burn this. So whenever it needs cleaning, I throw it into the fire and I just take it out and it comes out very clean. This was love and compassion that the companions had. This was the devotion that the companions had in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was truly, truly amazing. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, the question is this. We claim the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what do we do in the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Do we protect our salah? Do we read the Quran in the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do we read the translation in the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do we read the commentary of the Quran? Do we recite Durood as-Salam in abundance upon the beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do we respect and honor our parents in the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do we earn halal sustenance and feed it to our children in the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do we respect and honor the rights of others and the scholars in the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do we honor and respect our elders in the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do we love our youngsters for the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because this is the essence of deen. You do things purely for the love of Allah Azza wa Jal and His Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ask yourself that question. Let's change. Whenever you have a decision to make, use this as your scale. Use the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say, I love my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I don't want to do anything that upsets Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if I've got two ways, which would Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be pleased with? Is he going to be pleased if I do this? Or is he going to be displeased? And if he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to be displeased, then I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do the things that are going to bring happiness to the face of my beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I know that with the blessings of Allah azza wa jal, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know what I'm doing. Deeds of the ummati are presented in the court of the best of creation. And so I don't want anything to be presented in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes displeased. And at worst, it's not about displeasure. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes upset. How bad would it be If we disobeyed Allah, we missed our salah, we mistreated our parents, we didn't read the Quran, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finds out about this. Can you imagine how Akka Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would feel? This is that fear of how my Habib would feel, which is true love. And then reforming your ways. Alhamdulillah, in the Madni environment of Dawat Islami, the environment teaches us God consciousness. And it teaches us that if you work hard to please Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practically in your life, then your life will go towards the true reason for your creation, which is to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla. And if Allah Azza wa Jalla says that if you want to get to me, you need to love my Habib and follow in the footsteps of my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then I will love you, then that's what we need to do. I've already, time's flown by again, we're going to move to our second segment. But in today's segment, I want you to take those stories that we had about these companions, where you wouldn't pick up a ring, a golden ring, and think, am I doing anything in my life that displeases Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because if I am, it's time for me to change. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sahaba's devotion, a love so true, inspiring hearts forever anew.
My second segment. And alhamdulillah, there is, in life, today, in these days, life is very fast. We spend a lot of time with social media, phones, we're all busy. And you know, even those people who are not working full-time or not working at all, when you speak to them, I'm too busy, I don't have time to do this, I don't have time to do that. And we've created this environment where we seem to have no spare time. And so, you know, the priority list is huge. I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to do that. And when it comes to religious knowledge, we don't give it priority, first of all. It's way down our list. You know, people have these bucket lists and they spend their lives running after their desires. Well, if you talk about knowledge of deen, do you know how to read the Quran properly? Oh, one day I'll learn. Do you know how the simple masail, the farz ulum, the fiqh masail that you need to know, which are farz obligatory? Oh, one day I will do it. And they put it down there. Now, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, your Dawat Islami, to solve this problem, because people are saying, I don't have time to go to the madrasa and learn. I don't have time. I can't spare 5 to 7 to go to see the Imam Sahib. I can't go on kafilas over the weekend and learn all this stuff, and I can't do it regularly and everything else. So, alhamdulillah, the think tanks of Dawat Islami came together many, many years ago, 12 years ago, in fact. And they thought, how can we make gaining the knowledge of deen easy for people? How can we make it convenient? How can we have it at their fingertips? So wherever they are, they don't have to travel, they don't have to do much, they don't have to pay much, and they can learn the knowledge. How can we do that? And alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, for the last 12 years, over 60,000 students all over the world have benefited from Fezzan Online Academy. 49 campuses scattered around the world with muballighs and teachers, alim-e-deens, scholars of the deen teaching. Currently, there are over 24,000 students, and ranging from countries like Canada, America, Europe, Malaysia, Indonesia, all over. And what do? They do different courses. I'm going to play a little clip and I'm going to give you some more details and I'm going to talk about it more. Let's watch this clip. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. It's Dawat-e-Islami.
Some people also say, well, we can't find time. We can't come to the madrasa. It affects our work. We are not available during this time. What can we now do? We've got a busy life. We've got a busy schedule. Dawat-e-Islami has also solved this issue as well. Dawat-e-Islami is enabled to provide an online Quran service where people can learn the Quran online. Dawat-e-Islami established the Fezzan Online Academy. Dawat-e-Islami has provided this service where in the comfort of your home, in whatever time you wish, middle of the night, middle of the day, early morning, early night, you can have this digital madrasa and you can access this from your home. Again, available for the boys, the girls, the adults, and the adult boys and the adult sisters as well. Alhamdulillah, an amazing service where whatever time you want, you can learn this as well. Along with the Quran, more than 40 courses are also being taught on Fizan Online Academy. Thousands of teachers come to the branches to teach online, and there are thousands whom we have given work from home opportunities. They have been given computers. Islamic Brothers are teaching the Islamic Brothers, and the Islamic Sisters are teaching the Islamic Sisters. This is a remarkable department, and many, many people have benefited from this around the world. There are many, many places where physical madrasa don't place, many, many places where there are not even masajid, but Fizan Online Academy, people have benefited from this all around the world. And the work of Fizan Online Academy has gone now to more than 90 countries, and subhanAllah, more than 24,000 students are currently studying. More than 40,000 students have benefited from these courses and completed the courses as well. Isn't that amazing that so many people have done this? No matter how you want to learn the Quran, Dawah Islami has the solution, be it during the day, during the night, physically, online. Alhamdulillah.
Fizan Online Academy, Fizan Online Academy, learning Islam at your fingertips, fingertips, learning Islam at your fingertips, fingertips.
The Madani aim of Dawah Islami is, I must try to reform myself and the people of the whole world. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. Long live Dawah Islami.
SubhanAllah, what an amazing department. Wow. You know, this the opportunity, if you think about it very carefully, you've got a department that is not restricted. So, if there is no masjid or madrasa in an area, there are kids learning the Quran, Madni Qaida, everything else online, and we're reaching out to these people. There are countries where, you know, there is no jamia, but yet they're doing the courses online and becoming scholars of the deen. There are courses for sisters teaching sisters, brothers teaching brothers. And the other beauty is, whatever time you want. So you will choose a time. So say for example, and Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, and I only say this to encourage others as well. There are a lot of brothers in Dawat Islami who are doing courses and have been doing them for years. So like, I do one course, and then when it finishes, I look at the next, I look at the list of courses, I'm going to go through them in a bit. And I think, I'll do that one now. And Alhamdulillah, what time? You might think, well, how do you get time? You know, you work as a barrister and everything else. I do it in my own time. So I say, well, you know, there was a time where I used to do it early morning. So I used to get up for Fajr, you know, pray Fajr and read my Quran, and then I used to have the class early morning, done and dusted. Then that kind of got a bit difficult for me, so I changed it. So after Isha, 10:30, class. Different courses, and the courses that they offer, go online. If you type in Fizan Online Academy, go to the website. The website is amazing as well. I'll tell you that 60,000 students have already passed through the system. There are 49 campuses. 12 years, Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami has been doing this, and it's taken the knowledge of deen to different parts of the world. There are brothers who do different jobs. There's from, you know, professionals, doctors, engineers, barristers, who in their own time, say half an hour, 1 hour, and they're learning Arabic, they're doing Arabic grammar course, they're doing Al-Medin, the Dars-e-Nizami course, they're doing correcting their Quran course, they're doing all sorts. And they're doing it in their own time. There are brothers who are taxi drivers, I know one brother, he did Tafsir al-Quran while sat in his car waiting between jobs. It's amazing that this department truly is one of my favorite departments. Let me, if you go onto that website, you will see the types of courses. So you've got Madani Qaida, Nazra, Hifz online, Alim course, you've got Tarjima and Tafsir of the Quran, as well as that view more. So you've got Tarjima and Tafsir of the Quran, you've got Tasawwuf course, you've got Fiqh courses, you've got special courses for Ramzan, Zakat course, learn the Seerat of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Masail of Qurbani, Sunnat of Nikah, Farzalum course, a crucial course. I mentioned it in today's Bayan as well, that we don't learn the Farzalum, and yet we have time for everything else. All these, Arabic grammar course, there's lots of different courses. Alhamdulillah, just to kind of encourage brothers, I'm doing the Arabic grammar course at the moment. It's not easy, it's kind of quite technical, but I'm enjoying it. And it's during the day, you're busy with other things. It's in the evening. evenings between 10 and half 10. And like I said, I'm only saying this to encourage other people. You know, I'm not boasting about it. If there's anything to boast about, it's this department of Dawat Islami that is amazing. Because I can do that course, learn my Sira and, you know, Sarf and Nahav in my own time. And the teachers are brilliant as well. They're very helpful. They understand you've had a busy day, you're working, you're in a foreign country, and they try to help you as much as you can. I cannot emphasize this department. There's one of my favorite courses, I think I may have mentioned it in one of the other programs as well, the Tasawwuf course. If you're into that spirituality, and they teach the books of Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, and truly eye-opening. You know, it changes your perspective of the world. I did this Tasawwuf course twice, actually. I enjoyed it so much, I did it twice. So I really enjoyed it. And I used to do it, I had the timings such that they read through the books. And so I did it on the school run in the morning. So I had it, the timing there. So my children were listening to it in the car as well. And I was listening to it as well. And it's brilliant. So you can tailor it to your needs. This is why I'm so excited about this department. The Dawat Islami has a lot of brilliant departments, but this has to be one of my favorites because it gives you so much control. If you haven't done the Farz Ulum course, I would encourage you, go online. And the amount, probably not even a pound a day, something like that. That's all it costs. And alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami, you know, is amazing. You know, the books that other people charge, 10, 20, 30 quid for, they sell for pounds. So this is why I would encourage you today, go online, look through the list of courses. And if you go on the website, there are courses for brothers, courses for sisters. Download the list and think, this is a 3-month course, this is a 6-month course, this is a 2-year course, and start it. And look at your schedule and think, well, I can spare half an hour in the evening, or half an hour in the morning, or half an hour in the afternoon, and tell them. Get in contact, say to them, this is the time, and they will fit you in according to the time you want. Amazing department. Do not miss out on this. It can change your life. And if you don't have a madrasa near your home, and if you want to give your kids the teaching, I know many brothers and sisters who can't do the school madrasa run because they're working or they have other commitments. So their children, rather than miss out on the knowledge of deen, they've got online classes for every one of their children. And alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, the brothers and sisters who teach are very well trained, and the whole system is so amazing that there are checks and balances every step of the way. Brilliant system. Log in today, Faizan Online Academy, and enroll yourself and your family and your friends. Encourage them onto courses, and who knows, maybe the next Alameen will come from somebody who's done this course. I'm going to finish there. We've gone over time. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless all of you. And inshallah Azza wa Jal, next week we'll be back with more stories about the love of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the blessed companions, the Tabi'in, Taba Tabi'in, and another department of Dawat Islami. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sahaba's devotion, a love so true, inspiring hearts forever anew. Sahaba's devotion, a love so true, inspiring hearts forever anew. Inspiring hearts forever anew.